ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಕೇನೋಪನಿಷತ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ 1 ಶ್ಲೋಕ 6. ಯನ್ಮನಸಾ ನ ಮನುತೇ ಯೇನಾಹುರ್ಮನೋ ಮತಂ ತದೇವ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮತ್ವಂ ವಿದ್ಧಿ ನೇದಂ ಯದಿದಮುಪಾಸತೆ. ಐ ಹೋಪ್ ಆಡಿಯೋ ವಿಡಿಯೋ ಇಸ್ ಓಕೆ. ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಿ ಗುಡ್. ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು. ಆಲ್ರೈಟ್. ಸೋ ದ ಟೀಚರ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಅಪ್ಲೈಯಿಂಗ್ different pramanams, various pramanams. He says one may change the pramanams to even more powerful pramanams. For example, it's like, you know, changing the power of the microscope, any instrument of knowledge or experience, one can change it perhaps. But even the most powerful pramanam, microscope or telescope, whatever it is, cannot objectify Brahman, because as we said earlier, it is not on the other side of pramanam at all. It is on this side. If it is on the other side, then it will be a prameya. If it is on this side, then it is a pramana only. Actually, Swamiji, you know, he is giving an example. Swamiji, Chinmayananda Swamiji, he says, it seems a person was, you know, using a torch light in a dark room, and the torch light was very powerful light, and he wanted to know which battery is put there. Because maybe battery has been put by his wife or somebody else, I don't know. So what did he do? He removed the battery and put it in front of the light to see the battery. What happens? There is no light. Then he quickly put the battery back, light came back, but no battery to see. So how can the battery, which is on one this side of the light, can ever be on the other side? And if you are going to take the pramata to the other side, the subject, the pramata, to the other side, what will happen? Will be no observer at all. There is no subject. So one can never objectify oneself, the pramata. So yat manasa na manute. Brahman is that which can never be objectified by mind. At the same time, manasa by mind. And yena manaha matam ahuhu. Because of that, Brahman or Atma, the mind is instrument. It is capable of knowing others because of Brahman, which mind is known. So the second line is actually a repetition of the previous shloka. In the last webinar, we saw the previous shloka. So the second line is common to the next few more shlokas. So the same meaning. So the second line repetition, what does it say? Tadeva Brahma Tvam Vidhi. That knower principle, that consciousness alone is Brahman. Na idam yaditam upasate. It is not an object of knowledge. The same meaning as was given in the last webinar. Shloka 7 and 8 and 9 we read together. Yat chakshusha na pasyati yena chakshu gumshi pasyati tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nedam yaditam upasate. ಯತ್ ಶ್ರೋತ್ರೇಣ ನ ಶೃಣೋತಿ ಯೇನ ಶ್ರೋತ್ರಮಿದಗುಂ ಶ್ರುತಂ ತದೇವ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮತ್ವಂ ವಿದ್ಧಿ ನೇದಂ ಯದಿತಮುಪಾಸತೆ. ಯತ್ ಪ್ರಾಣೇನ ನ ಪ್ರಣೀತಿ ಯೇನ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಪ್ರಣೀಯತೆ ತದೇವ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮತ್ವಂ ವಿದ್ಧಿ ನೇದಂ ಯದಿತಮುಪಾಸತೆ. ಸೊ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈನ್ ಇನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ತ್ರೀ ಶ್ಲೋಕಾಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕಾಸ್. ಸೊ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ ಮಂತ್ರಾಸ್. The teacher, now he takes three more instruments. As we said, regardless of how many number of pramanams, instruments you take, you cannot objectify Brahman. So he says now, yat chakshusha, chakshuhu means eyes. Yat shrotrena, shrotra means ears. And yat pranena, Shankaracharya in his commentary, he takes the word prana as the organ of smell, not the prana, the wind, prana air. No, he takes it as the organ of smell. Granendriyam. So these three jnanendriyams are taken, that is chakshurindriyam, shrotrendriyam and granendriyam. Atma cannot become a prameyam at all through all these different pramanams. That is why in Lalita Sahasranamam and Vishnu Sahasranamam, one of the namas of both the Devi and Mahavishnu is aprameyaha. So if Lalita or Mahavishnu is aprameya, prameya, aprameya, what form they will be then? If they are aprameya, if she has a nice form, she has a beautiful sari, she has this, that and all in her hands, then she will come under what? She will come under a prameyam, an object. But since the aprameyam cannot be conceived by us, we are all like LKG students in Vedanta. So Lalita, Vishnu, etc., they are all given some form or the other. So aprameya is never an object of knowledge. And we may get a doubt then, whether Lalita exists or not. That is why the next nama, aprameya swaprakasha. Lalita is ever evident, swaprakasha, ever evident. Some people make actually a mistake here. Because since mind and senses, they cannot objectify. They say, you should suspend all your perception, all your thoughts and sit in nirvikalpaka samadhi. Then Atma will reveal itself, they say. Because here the text, what does it say? It is beyond the mind and senses. But we should remember, swaprakasha means it is evident all the time. Because consciousness or pramata, the subject, is evident all the time. And what is the proof for that? The very fact that somebody asked that question, that itself is the proof. Therefore, trying to go to samadhi for self-realization is a misconception. We already mentioned it in the previous webinar. So the Upanishad says, self is evident during Jagratavastha, during Swapnavastha, and during Sushuptiavastha also. And if there is a fourth stage, consciousness is evident in the Samadhi stage also. We don't say it is not evident in Samadhi. We only say Samadhi is not required for consciousness to be evident. Because by the very definition, Jagrat Swapna Sushuptishu Sputatara Yasamvit Ujrumbate in Manisha Panchakam, Acharya said, O student, this evident consciousness is that Atma which you asked for. Brahman is a matter for owning up as Aham Brahma Asmi, and it is never for experience. How do you own up? You own up in two stages. For stage, first stage we say is what? I, the knower, am Brahman. That is the first stage. I, the knower, the subject, am Brahman. And the second stage is I, the consciousness, am Brahman. I, the Chaitanyam, consciousness, am Brahman. I need not work for the experience of Brahman because Brahman is experienced all the time as consciousness, as consciousness, as consciousness. And when is consciousness experienced by experience, somebody is asked, we should not ask that question, when is consciousness experienced? We should ask a counter question, when it is not experienced. Every word of mine you are aware of because of consciousness alone. So I am Atma blessing the body, the sense organs. I am Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso Manaha. We saw in the previous webinar. So this is the first phase of Vedantic teaching. And with this, the first chapter is over, the first khanda. So having taught this much, the teacher wants to know whether the student has grasped the teaching. And so he gives a periodic test. Of course, that teacher only gives, we don't give any test here. So the second chapter begins with the teacher testing the student. And the student coming out with flying colors. So it's a very beautiful next section, khanda second or part two, mantra one. Yadi manyase suvedeti dakrame vapi nunam tvam vetha brahmano rupam yadasya tvam yadasya deveshvatanu mimamsyame vate manye viditam. Now these are all prose forms, so we don't put any tune, we just read it. So here the teacher is testing the student by giving a challenge. This is called the mananam part of teaching. Teaching has to go through different levels. The first level is shravanam. Shravanam is passive listening and trying to grasp what the teacher has to say, convey. While the teacher is conveying, if there are doubts, one doesn't ask during Shravanam, but one sets aside all the questions, and the aim is to understand, try to understand the teaching. Having received the information, thereafter one should ask one's own intellect, can I accept what the teacher has to communicate? Am I convinced? If not, I can raise any number of questions. Either I find the answers within myself or from the co-students by discussion, or go back to the teacher and clarify. That is why the Shastra say, Acharyat Padam Adatte, Padam Shishya Swamedhaya, Padam Sa Brahmacharibhyaha, Padam Kalakramena. The teacher teaches only one quarter. Acharyat Padam Adatte, Padam is one quarter. Padam Shishya Swamedhaya, by his own intellect and reasoning, the student grasps another quarter. Padam Sa Brahmacharibhyaha, by discussion with other students, he grasps another quarter. Padam Kalakramena, over the period of time, by experience and so many things, again going through Manana Mandal, he gets the other quarter. So that is how the learning becomes complete. During teaching, perhaps he teaches back. This is called Mananam, because Vedanta is a matter of knowing. Because, as we have said, the only subject matter of Vedanta is what? The Brahman is already experienced by me as what? As Chaitanya Rupena, Chid Rupena. And therefore, I don't require any separate effort for Brahman experience. But the whole effort is in the field of understanding clearly, knowing clearly, so keep on questioning. This process of removing the intellectual blocks is called Mananam. And the second chapter is a Mananam chapter. The first chapter is Shravanam chapter. And the teacher wants to find out from the student, does he know Brahman now? So what can the student answer? Either way he will get trapped. If he says, I know Brahman. If he says, I know Brahman, then what happens? Brahman will come under known category. If you remember the known and unknown categories that we discussed in the last webinar. So Brahman will come under known category. So if he says, I don't know Brahman, then Brahman will come under unknown category. And in the first chapter, Brahman has been defined as what? Something other than known and something other than unknown also. If you remember the very important line in the entire Vedanta which you mentioned, Anyadeva tad viditat ato aviditat avi. That is in the first section, fourth mantra, first line. Therefore, the student cannot say either I know or I don't know. He cannot keep silent also, because when the teacher asks the question, you cannot just, you know, look at him back. You have to respond. So otherwise it could be considered negligence or whatever. Therefore, mischievous question is raised by the teacher, and the student is going to give an equally mischievous answer here. And indirectly he conveys, oh teacher, you have communicated to me successfully. So here the first 3.5 lines of this shloka is the question by the teacher. Up to Mimamse Meva Te is Guruhu Uvacha. Up to that. Then Sishyaha Uvacha Manye Viditam. These are the two words which he gives as answer. And he will clarify further in the next mantra his own answer. Now, what is the question of the teacher? Suveda iti yeti iti yedi manyase. Suveda. I know Brahman well. We have to add here. Suveda is the verb, and we have to add Brahman. And the subject of the verb is understood as Brahman. Aham. So Suveda should be read as Aham Brahma Suveda. I know Brahman. That should be within quote. Iti manyase yeti. O student, after listening to the first chapter, suppose you conclude in this manner that I know Brahman well, Suveda, because this mistake can be committed by any number of students, because any experience that appears and disappears comes under what? An object of experience. And if the experience comes in front of you, it is time-bound experience, and it will go away also. For example, somebody wrote a book. He wrote a book in black and white color. And he wrote about his Brahman experience in that book. And he put all those Brahman experience, those lines referring to Brahman experience in red. So he said, a flash of milky white thing came, light came and went around his guru's picture 3 times and again went away. He put that all in red color in that black and white book. So whereas Vedantic revelation of consciousness is what? It is the consciousness which was before the experience, during the experience, and continues to be there even after the experience goes away. So while we are talking about the witnessing consciousness, people get carried away by the ordinary or extraordinary or mystic experiences. And the teacher expects every student to commit that mistake. And he has to grow out of that. Therefore, the teacher says, suppose you had some such great experience. And after that you conclude, now I know Brahman. Then what will be my response? He says, Dahrameva tvam veti. You know pretty little my teaching. You have not listened to me carefully. Another reading is also Dabrameva. Have very little sense. That also means. So Dabrameva, Alpameva, Noonam. Noonam means certainly. Tvam veta. You know certainly. Brahma, Brahmano Rupam. The Swarupam of Brahma, the Chaitanya Swarupam, you have not understood. I am talking about the consciousness in the mind, the witness consciousness, whereas you are talking about the arriving, departing experiences in the mind. You know how subtle they are. Therefore, Dhabrameva. And he says, Asya Brahmanaha Rupam. We have to supply Manushyeshu. If you supply this word Manushyeshu, so you do not know the nature of Brahman obtaining in humans. Manushyeshu, Asya Brahmanaha, Yatu Rupam Upalabhyate, Tat Tvam Na Veta. You don't know, Na Veta. The nature of Brahman obtaining in Manushyas. Manushya means the Adhyatmika Upadhi, the micro Upadhi, the individual. You know, we know the micro, macro, all that. Upadhi means medium, the individual and the total, Vyashti, Samashti, all those terminologies you should know by are looking at the Tattvabodha lectures. And we have used this many times. Deveshu. Deveshu means, nor do you know the nature of Brahman obtaining in the Devas, representing the Adi Devika Upadhi. The deflecting medium only is there. One is Manushya Upadhi, another is Deva Upadhi, the macro Upadhi, the total, Samashti. Neither do you know the consciousness in the individual nor in the samashti, the total. Devas represent total. In short, you do not know anything. So, Deveshu Brahmanaha Yat Rupam Upalabhyate Tad Api Alpameva Tvam Veta. Therefore, what you should do? Don't get disappointed. But don't hold on to your wrong conclusions and try to engage in long meditations for Brahman experience. So the teacher wants, Mimamsyameva te. Without making such conclusions, inquire into your understanding. Mimamsya means vicharaniyam. Mimamsa is a mandhatu, it's an unique root. So mimamsate, the first conjugation for people, grammar students, to analyze, to inquire, to study further. Mimamsya means has to be inquired into. Te for you, up to this, the teacher's challenge, the question. Now the student has to answer. So after listening to the question, namely, do you know Brahman? That is the question the teacher asked. Now the Shishyaha Uvacha, Shishya answers. Now Sankaracharya, he writes in his commentary, Simhavat Jagarja. The Shishya roared like a simham, a lion, because his understanding is so thorough. He is a uttama adhikari who says, he says, viditam manye, I know Brahman. It is very clear to me. Now we have to imagine, if the student said, I know, then Brahman becomes what? Something known. Then the teacher must have raised his eyebrows. Imagine all this in the student in a class setting. So when the student says, I know, the teacher must have raised his eyebrows. And so the student himself clarifies his understanding in the next mantra, which is a commentary on the statement Manye Viditam of the shloka. Mantra 2. Naham Manye Suvedeti Nona Vedeti Vedacha யோனஸ்தத்வேத தத்வேத நோன வேதேதி வேதச்ச. ஆல் ஆர் டங் ட்விஸ்டிங் ஸ்லோகாஸ் குப்ளிங்ஸ். த ஸ்டூடெண்ட் ஹீ கிளாரிஃபைஸ் ஹீ ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட், ஐ நோ பிரம்மன். ஸோ விச் குட் பி மிஸ்டேக்கன், பிரம்மன் இஸ் அன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ். அண்ட் ஸோ ஹீ கிவ்ஸ் ஏ செகண்ட் ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட் விச் இஸ் நாட் தேட் ஐ நோ பிரம்மன். ஸோ ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட் இஸ் ஐ நோ பிரம்மன், நெக்ஸ்ட் இஸ் நாட் தேட் ஐ நோ பிரம்மன். தட் டசன்ட் மீன் தட் யூ டோன்ட் நோ பிரம்மன், தட் க்வெஸ்சன் மைட் கம். அண்ட் ஸோ ஹீ சேஸ் நாட் தேட் ஐ டோன்ட் நோ பிரம்மன். தென் த டீச்சர் எகெயின் ரைசஸ் இஸ் ஐப்ரோ. ஸோ த ஸ்டூடெண்ட் வாட் ஆர் த திங்ஸ் ஹீ சேஸ்? ஐ நோ பிரம்மன், நாட் தேட் ஐ நோ பிரம்மன், நாட் தேட் ஐ டோன்ட் நோ பிரம்மன், ஐ நோ ஐ டோன்ட் நோ பிரம்மன். தீஸ் ஆர் தி ஆன்சர்ஸ் ஹீ கிவ்ஸ். ஸோ வாட் இஸ் தி எசன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆல் தி ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட்ஸ்? பிரம்மன் டஸ் நாட் கம் அண்டர் நோன் ஆர் அன்னோன் கேட்டகரி. பிரம்மன் இஸ் நாட் அன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் அட் ஆல். அண்ட் சின்ஸ் பிரம்மன் இஸ் நெவர் அன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட், ஒன் ஷுட் நெவர் யூஸ் எ ட்ரான்சிட்டிவ் வேர்ப். யூ நோ ஆல் தீஸ் ட்ரான்சிட்டிவ் இன்ட்ரான்சிட்டிவ் வேர்ப்ஸ் இன் ஸ்கூல்ஸ். வித் ரெஸ்பெக்ட் டு பிரம்மன், ஒன் ஷுட் நெவர் யூஸ் எ ட்ரான்சிட்டிவ் வேர்ப். ஸோ வாட் ஆர் தீஸ் டூ வேர்ப்ஸ்? எ வேர்ப் விச் ஹஸ் காட் அன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் is a transitive verb. For example, if I say, I eat, it has got an object. I eat maybe a mango, an apple, or whatever it is, a food. Similarly, if I say, I see, that is also transitive. I see an object, something I see. But if I say, I smile, then what is the object of smiling? I say, I laugh, I cry. So they are all intransitive. So with respect to Brahman, never use transitive verbs at all. Then Brahman will become an object. So all verbs, I want to meet Brahman, I want to merge with Brahman into Brahman, they are all transitive verbs. You can use only one verb with respect to Brahman, namely, I am Brahman. Therefore, the student wants to say, O teacher, don't put such inconvenient questions to me. Brahma suveda iti aham na manye. I don't consider that I know Brahman. Na veda iti no manye. I don't consider that I don't know Brahman either. Then what? Veda, I know. Then we have to add na veda, I don't know also. So all the four statements that I just mentioned earlier. So then he says, the student's confidence, look at him, that he has understood Vedanta very well. Then he doesn't stop by saying that alone. He looks around in the classroom. What is the response of his fellow students? Some of them are in appreciation. Oh, exactly, this guy has exactly said what we want to say. There are some others who are all, you know, Manda Madhyama students. They are all blinking. And what are these answers? As they say, Vedanta is like looking for a dark cat in a dark room where it is not there. Some people, you know, said Vedanta is like looking for a dark cat in a dark room where it is not. So these answers look like only quibbling of words. So the student says, among other students who ever have understood my statements, those students also have grasped Vedanta. Look at his confidence. That is why Shankaracharya said in his commentary, Simhavad Jagarja. He roared like a lion. Among other students who ever have understood my statements, those students also have grasped Vedantic teaching. Therefore he says, Yo na tadveda, tadveda. Whichever student has grasped the statements, saha veda, he has understood Brahman. And what is my statement? The student reminds the statements once again within quotation. No na veda, veda cha. This statement of mine, whomsoever have understood, they have grasped the teaching. And what is the Vedantic teaching? Very, very interesting. The Vedantic teaching is the ungraspability of Brahman. I have grasped that teaching. The ungraspability of Brahman is what the teaching is about. I have grasped that. Mantra 2.3. Yasya matam tasya matam matam yasya na vedasaha avijnatam vijanatam vijnatam avijanatam. So with the previous mantra, the student's answer is over. And the teacher, we have to imagine all this. The teacher is satisfied. So we have to imagine so many things here. The Upanishad doesn't say all of them in the Upanishad. So teacher would have said perhaps, oh great, he complimented him, so you understood well and all that thing, and said, our communication is all over, now you are free. Therefore, we have to imagine that the student has left along with the other students who have also understood the answer. So they all have left. That all we have to imagine. Some of the students are still sitting without understanding what is going on. Because all these quibbling of words, what does it mean? They don't understand. They are still blinking. But in between, the Upanishad comes and glorifies this teaching. That means the communication between the teacher and the student. That is in mantras 3 to 5 of the second section. This gives the glorification of the teaching. It says, Brahman is never known to a person who says, Brahman is known to me. Known within quotation marks. So, Brahman is never known to a person who says, Brahman is known to me. Known means what? It should be an object. You know, it is past participle. Always, you know, it refers to an object. So, the Upanishad says, Yasya amatam tasya matam. Yasya amatam. So, one who says Brahman is matam, known, for him, Brahman is not at all known. So, the Brahman Upanishad says, actually in Tamil, there is a beautiful saying, Kandavar vindilar, vindavar kandilar. So, the same idea. The same thing can be seen in another way also. Yasya amatam, tasya matam. Yasya purushasya brahma amatam. For that person for whom Brahman is not an object of knowledge, tasya matam. For him, Brahman is known. And yasya matam, saha na veda. He never knows, because what is the general rule? Avijnatam vijanatam vijnanam avijanatam. This Upanishad enjoys quibbling actually in many places. It says, for the knowers of Brahman, it is not known. That is, anybody who claims I know Brahman, it is not known. How we will understand this? It is not an object of knowledge. Brahman is not an object of knowledge. And for the non-knowers of Brahman, it is known. How to understand this? It is mistaken as an object of knowledge. So, those who say they know, they think it is an object of knowledge, so they don't know. For those who know, they understood it as it is. So, for the non-knowers of Brahman, it is known. Because it is mistaken as an object of knowledge. Ignorant people consider it is known. Wise people never consider it is known. So, avijnatam vijanatam, vijnatam avijanatam. So, the essence of all this thing is what? Brahman is the knower, the very subject. Or to be more precise, the very content of the knower, the conscious principle. Mantra 4. Pratibodha viditam matam amritatvam hi vindate atmana vindate viryam vidyaya vindate amritam. It's a very, very important mantra in the entire Vedantic literature. That too, the first line. Pratibodha viditam matam. We have quoted this in many other Upanishads in various lectures earlier. We said one should not work for the experience of Brahman. We have told all the time. One should not work for the experience of Brahman. What is the reason? Not because Brahman experience is not required, but the required Brahman experience is always there for everyone. Brahma anubhava, Brahman experience, one need not work for, because it is the only thing which is all the time there for all the people. Why? Because Brahman happens to be the Chaitanyam which is self-evidently experienced by all the people all the time. As we have said earlier, when you listen to my first sentence, you are experiencing two things. What is that? The sentence, whatever I am saying. Number two, I am conscious of the sentence. And when the second sentence comes, the first sentence goes away. But what remains? Consciousness remains. When you experience the second, the third, the fourth sentences, consciousness remains. So experiences come and go. The one thing that never comes and goes is consciousness, because of which I am conscious of the arriving and departing experiences. In the waking state, waking time, waking space, waking objects are all there, along with consciousness. The entire waking state goes away when I go to dream state. So dream time comes, dream space comes, dream objects arrive. And what continues? The same Chaitanyam consciousness continues, which is evident in and through the entire dream experience. And the greatest wonder is what? In sleep state, in deep sleep, in Sushupti, even when no experience is there, there is still something. What is that something? The absence of experience. But to talk about the absence of experience, you still require what? The consciousness. To illumine the absence of experience in sleep, there also you need consciousness. So consciousness is evident when? We have to ask the counter question, when consciousness is not evident. That is why in Manisha Panchakam, Acharya said, Jagrat Swapna Sushupti Susputatara Yasam Vidyujrumbate Ya Brahmadi Pipilikanta Tanushu Prota Jagat Sakshine Saivaham Nacha Drishya Vastviti Drida Prajnapi Yasyasti Chet Chandalostu Sachu Dvijostu Guriritesha Manisha Mama. Shankaracharya, he says in Manisha Panchakam, consciousness is one thing for whose evidence you need not work for any time, because everything becomes evident because of consciousness. And this conscious being, Brahman is evident in all three avasthas. And therefore, there is no time when Brahman is not evident. Therefore, Brahma Anubhava, no one need to work for. Then why study scriptures? Because that will be another question by someone. The study of scriptures is not for Brahma Anubhava, but to know that this self-evident consciousness is Brahman. Therefore, in the case of Brahman, Anubhava is first, Jnanam is later. In all other cases, actually, Bhadragiri, Raja Bhadragiri, he writes in his, If I give another example, I will quote Badrini later. So, if you, for example, a person talks about Badrinath tour or something like that, when he talks about that, you know Badrinath first. You know there is a place like that, so beautiful, I have to go there, there is a, you know, it's a kshetram, all that. But you experience Badrinath later, because you have to go see for yourself and experiences. So, the normal order is what? Anubhava comes after knowledge. But in the case of Brahman, it is Jnanam after Anubhava. But the thing is, no one revealed that fact to me. Like Swami Jayananda says, you know, he was flying to Delhi, it seems. Some passenger was sitting along with him and talking to him. And he asked where he is going. Swamiji said, I am going to Rishikesh. Then the other person said, I want to meet a Swamiji in Rishikesh. And Swamiji asked him, told the other person, he said, okay, give me the name and the, you know, address or whatever it is, then I will find out. Then the other person, he wrote, what is the name he wrote? Swami Dayananda Saraswati. Now, what was his problem? Not the experience of Swamiji. He has been experiencing him all the time sitting by his side. But he did not know that the person whom he wants to experience is all the time in front of him. If Swamiji is in Rishikesh, for example, then he has to go to Rishikesh to find him. Similarly, if Brahman is in Rishikesh, we have to study and wait for. But Upanishad says, it does not describe Brahman. It only introduces Brahman as something intimately experienced by us all the time. Therefore, Upanishads are not words of description, but of introduction. These are all things, we are all subtle things. Upanishads are not words of description. They are introduction. What introduction? That which is ever experienced by you, that is Brahman. That is going to be brilliantly exposed actually in the very important mantra, Pratibodha Viditam Matam. As I told, this is a very important definition of Brahman. In fact, if we really understand this definition, Vedanta is clear. Otherwise, Vedanta can be eternally confusing. To understand this, actually we should maybe spend a few minutes, I will do that. to understand the basics about the words in communication. After all, many of them are common knowledge, but still, when we bring it in perspective, it will make it more clear. Vedanta is teaching something through words, which can be classified into two types of words. One is words of introduction, introducing something, a person or object, and two, words of description. And we should clearly know the difference between these two. If you take, for example, the first case, words of introduction. Someone is, for example, I go somewhere, somebody is standing in front of me, and he greets me, and I am seeing him, I also greet him, I see him, I experience him, and the way, you know, he greets me, and he is paying respects to me, and also I know, I experience this person, but I don't know who is he. And someone standing by, he tells me that this person is a relative of him, and he is also happens to be whatever it is, some president or chairman of something that is around. And someone tells me that this is, gives a description, gives the introduction of that person. So these words of introduction, that do not give any experience of that person at all. Because words can never give, introductory words can never give an experience. They can give only information. So these introductory words also do not give me any experience of the person. They gave me only information about the person. But the peculiar thing is what? Once this person is introduced to me, I have got the information about the person, and afterwards, I don't want to experience the person separately because the experience of the person is already there. I have already experienced him. I am experiencing him even before the words of introduction. Because as the person greeted me, I was already experiencing his complexion, his appearance, his behavior. So the experience part is already there. But what I was lacking was the information about an already experienced person. The words can give only information. My eyes can give experience, but not the information. Eyes cannot give me that he is a chairman or president or something, but only the experience of form, but knowledge. So words give me knowledge, eyes give me the experience, and the experience I already acquired even before the introduction, after introduction, I got the knowledge. Then after getting the knowledge, will I work for experience of this person? Therefore, once I get knowledge, my desire for experience drops off. So the words of introduction give me knowledge, and after getting knowledge, I will never have desire for experience. Why? Not because words gave me experience, but the words gave me knowledge about the person who is already being experienced by me. Therefore, words of introduction will not generate a desire for experience. Whereas, there is another set of words which are words of description. There is description, for example, of Amarnath, how the Shivalinga is so wonderful there. It is an ice Shivalingam. When they give the words of description, through the words, I get the knowledge of Amarnath Shivalingam. But I don't experience the Shivalingam. Because the Shivalingam is not already experienced by me. If Shivalingam is already there, it will be words of introduction. But if someone gives me a description of Shivalingam, for example, in New Jersey, there is a Shivalingam. As even I hear the words, what will be generated in my mind? A desire to experience. So words of description will generate a desire for experience, and words of introduction will not generate a desire for experience because they deal with something which is already experienced. Then what about consciousness? Whenever there is a description of consciousness, is it words of description or introduction? Consciousness is already, you are conscious of the very first word. You are conscious of the silence between two words. And again, you are conscious of the next word. When is consciousness absent? Never. In fact, consciousness reveals the absence of everything else also. Therefore, consciousness comes under the ever-experienced thing. In Sanskrit, it is called Swayam Prakashaha, Swata Siddhaha, Nitya Siddhaha. And when the scriptures talk about consciousness, the words are words of introduction only, which words give us the knowledge of something which is all the time being experienced. If one carefully understands,
one will see that the Guru is talking about something ever experienced. He is giving me the knowledge of the ever experienced consciousness. And that knowledge is an end in itself. It need not be followed by an experience. It is an end in itself. If the words are descriptive, then it will create a desire. But these are introductory words. Knowledge is the purpose of Guru's communication. Not for any experience or desire for experience or to work for an experience. You know, the teacher doesn't give this knowledge for any of these things. Either for desire for experience or work for experience or giving any experience. So even before the Vedanta classes started, the consciousness is experienced. The Shastra says, the ever experienced consciousness is Brahman. It is exactly like saying what? That the experienced person standing in front of me is, for example, the president of this organization or something like that. And what do we mean by Brahman? It is an independent entity. Then when we say it is an independent entity, we have to remember all the points that we have already given about Brahman Chaitanyam. It is not a part, product or property of the body. It is an independent entity which pervades and enlivens the body. It is not limited to the body and it continues to exist even after the body perishes. All those. So this knowledge part alone the scripture gives. And if there is some doubt in the knowledge, then what should I do? For example, I doubt whether this person standing in front of me is president or not. What should I do? By staring at him for maybe another half an hour or experiencing more, the doubt or confusion will not go away. I have to only inquire till the knowledge becomes clear. So experience will not remove doubts. More inquiry alone will remove doubts. So Shastra has to give knowledge and the knowledge should be doubtless. And if there are doubts, what we need is not experience, but more inquiry of Shastric words. Can it be all-pervading? Can the Brahman be eternal? So more inquiry based on Shastra's words is needed. Therefore, in this mantra, the Upanishad says, Brahman has to be known as the ever-experienced consciousness. That knowledge alone is the right knowledge. Therefore, the Upanishad says, Pratibodha Viditam Matam. Brahman is never known through a particular experience. Brahman is discerned through every experience. Pratibodha, every experience. It is not experienced in a particular state of Nirvikalpa Samadhi or Savikalpa Samadhi, but as the consciousness available in every experience. For example, I want to experience, for example, a particular person in a room of several people. Then what do we do? I have to turn towards that direction where that person is standing. And that experience is time-bound. But if I turn in another direction, then I will get a new experience of a new person. And the new experience comes. What happens to the old experience? That person disappears. Therefore, I recognize the persons through particular experience. But when I have to recognize the light in the room, for example, which person should I see? In fact, I recognize the light not through any particular person, but I recognize the light in and through the experience of every person I see. Therefore, the experience of light is not in a particular perception, but is in and through every perception. Pratibodha viditam Brahma. That Brahman alone is matam. Is real matam means really known to me. And if anyone says, I have got the description of Brahman through study of Vedanta, and I am waiting for the experience to come, what does it prove? It proves the teacher has not communicated properly. We don't have to blame the students. We can say the teacher has not communicated properly. So that alone is matam. And thereafterwards, if at all one wants any experience, one can work for the experience of jnana phalam. This also we have mentioned in previous lectures. Never work for the experience of Brahman. Right knowledge is, after knowledge, I won't work for the experience of Brahman, but I can work for the experience of jnana phalam, which requires some sadhanas. Because between knowledge and the phalam, there are a lot of obstacles. Like the habitual tendencies,
We have mentioned earlier, Viparita Bhavana, which is called Nididhyasana Sadhanam, about which we will discuss later also in this Upanishad. All the meditations prescribed in the scriptures after Vedantic study are not for Brahma Anubhava, but for Jnana Pala Anubhava. By removing our habitual Abhimanas, like Deha Abhimana, wife Abhimana, husband Abhimana, Graha Abhimana, job Abhimana, and all the consequent anxieties, the insecurities. So they are all ingrained in us and they have to go away. Not any other new experience we don't want. By this knowledge, Amritatvam hi vindate. A person attains Amritatvam, immortality, by knowing that the consciousness is myself and that consciousness is Brahman. And the two basic information is what? Consciousness is myself, the consciousness is Brahman. Thereafter what happens? Then my vision changes. I am not the body with consciousness, but I am the consciousness with the body. If I say I am the body with consciousness, then I am mortal, since body will go away. But if I am the consciousness with the body, then I am immortal. The body which is with me has to go away. Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya, Bhagavad Gita. Like changing dresses. Therefore, body will go away. I am immortal. So, amrutatvam hi vindate. Amrutatvam, immortality. No more fear of death. It is just like what happens to the hand. You know, in my hand, light will not get affected at all. Whether you pour water in my hand, whether you burn the hand, whether you cut the hand. Achedyaha, adakyaha, akledyaha, asoshyaha, nityaha, sarvagataha, sthanuhu, acharaha, ayam prakashaha. Whatever happens to the hand, it cannot destroy the light. Similarly, I am the eternal consciousness. And to come to this knowledge, what all are required? Atmana vindate viryam. Atma, here Atma means it's not Satchidananda Atma. Atma here means prepared mind. Sadhana Satchatushtaya Sampanna Antakkaranam, mind. It is not self. It is called the prepared mind. So through a prepared mind, viryam. Viryam means jnana yogyata, the fitness for this knowledge, the eligibility for this knowledge, one attains through a prepared mind, a disciplined mind. And once the mind is disciplined, what is the next stage? Vidyaya vindate amritam. Through knowledge, it does not say actually experience. Through knowledge, not experience. You need not work for experience because it is already there. We have to work for only knowledge. So vidyaya. And the knowledge comes through what? The introductory words of the Upanishad. Amritam vindate. One attains amritam means moksha, freedom. Therefore, the first stage is jnana yogyata praptihi and the second stage is jnana praptihi. This is our entire life. First, gaining the eligibility for knowledge and the second is jnana prapti. Eligibility is through what? Through religion, karma yoga, and knowledge is through philosophy. Veda purva bhaga, the karma kanda portion that gives jnana yogyata. Veda antabhaga, Vedanta, that gives jnanam. That is why the entire Vedic literature is relevant to us. So, yogyata and jnanam. Mantra 5. Iha ched avedhitam ata satyamasti na ched iha avedhitam mahati vinashtihi bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhiraha pretyasma lokat amrita bhavanti. So the Upanishad says here that many people have followed these two sadhanas and attained liberation. It is not a new project or a venture to be experimented. It is a time-tested wisdom that is given in the third and fourth line of the shloka. So dhiraha means jnana yogyaha, those people who followed a religious life. Entire karma yoga is religious life. All the upasanas, all the social service, all those services, everything one does as prescribed in the scriptures will make you not jnanis, but dhiraha. not Dhiraha, not a courageous person also. Dhiraha means a discriminative person, one who's for whom the priorities in life are clear. That is called Jnana Yogya. That is Karma Yogena Upasanayacha Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. Then Jnana Yogena, by Jnana Yoga, that is to be understood, Vichitya, they attain self-knowledge. Vichitya means Jnanam Prapanoti, they discern, they get the discriminative knowledge. And what is the discriminative that knowledge? Previously we said, I am the body with consciousness. And the next stage is, I am the consciousness in the body. So this reversal itself is a big step. The next stage is what? It is not enough I know that I am the consciousness, I am the consciousness in this body. I should also understand I am the consciousness in every body. The bodies may differ, but the consciousness does not differ. Like what? The light over this computer, for example, the light over this book is one continuous light. In between there may be gaps. There is only object missing in those places. The light is there in between also. Therefore, there is only one undivided light in the divided objects. Divisions belong to the body, but not to the consciousness. Consciousness is what? Akhanda Chaitanyam, without any division. If I say, I am in the body, it will mean that there is one consciousness here and another there in another body, and then the consciousness will get limited. Therefore, I should know that consciousness is undivided. That knowledge is called Sarva Bhutastham Atmanam Pashyati. So, Sarva Bhutastham Atmanam Pashyati. These people see themselves, the consciousness, in Bhuteshu Bhuteshu, in everything, every being. I am the consciousness behind my body, you are the consciousness behind your body, and I or you are one and the same. We have got different names, not because consciousness is different. In every being, it is same. We have different names because of different bodies. Plurality and differences belong to the body, not to consciousness. Iti bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya. They discern the consciousness in every being. Then asma lokat pretya. That also has got two meanings. The first meaning is, once I know I am the consciousness with the body, I have to ask the question, is the body my intrinsic nature or an incidental medium I use? If I take the body as an integral part of me, I will hold on to the body. Even if everyone dies, I want to keep on to my body. We don't want death to come. Some people say, I don't mind dying, but I don't want to see the near and dear to die. All because of what? We have committed one mistake. We have taken the body as an integral part of myself. But what do wise people do? They understand that body is like a dress that I, the consciousness, I wear. And any dress will be useful for some time. Later it will wear out. I'll get another dress. Therefore, asma lokat pretya, quitting this body or giving up the abhimana or the identification of the body, looking at the body objectively, I see millions of bodies coming and going. This body is not any special. As Bhatrahari, you know, as I told, I will quote Bhatrahari later, in Vairagya Shatakam, he offers his final prayer, you know, at the time of death. He is addressing all the five elements. These are all extremely important, very interesting works. Matar Medini Tata Maruta Sake Tejas Subhando Jalam Bratar Vyomani Bhaddaye Vabhavatam Antya Pranamanjalihi Yushmat Sangha Vashopajata Sukrutas Paras Puran Nirmalam Jnana Pasta Samasta Moha Mahima Liye Parabrahmani. Each one of the elements he calls father, mother, friend, he addresses them. Oh, five elements, you have been very kind to give me a body for my temporary use. Because the physical body is born out of the five elements. It is clean, borrowed stuff. Because of your gift, Raja Bhadrari says, I was able to gain this knowledge because of that. To know I am consciousness, I need the body. To read Shastra, we need body. Therefore, with your gift, I have made my life.
and therefore it is time to return this body to you, the five elements, with a note of gratitude or thanks. That is possible only if I am detached from the body. And such people are called asmalokat pretya. Having given up the abhimana with the world. World includes not only our body, but all the so-called relationships also. This is called jivan mukti. Amrita bhavanti, they continue to live until the prarabdha is exhausted. Because the duration of my body's life is not determined by my will, but by the prarabdha oil. And when that oil gets exhausted, the flame will naturally go away. So at the end of prarabdha, at the time of death, amrutaha bhavanti, they become immortal. They become one with immortal Brahman, as though we can say. What is the example? When the part space is broken, the part space merges with total space without any motion. This is a unique merger where there is no motion involved at all. Then why do you use the term merger, if you ask? It is because before the part is broken, the name part space was there. After broken, that name is no more used to represent that. Similarly, as long as the body is there, the name Jivatma is retained. When the body is not there, the name Jivatma is meaningless. Then what is the name? Paramatma alone is the name called Videha Muktihi. Therefore, Asmalokat Pretya means after attaining Jivan Mukti, Amrutaha Bhavanti. They will attain Videha Mukti also. This is the first meaning. And the second meaning is Asmalokat Pretya may be taken as death itself, marana itself. So instead of sharira abhimana tyagaha, leaving the body abhimana identification, it is sharira tyagaha itself, leaving the body itself. Either way, he is one with Brahman. So having talked about many people who have attained moksha, the Upanishad says, therefore, a human being should not waste his life. Human birth is very rare. Opportunity to attain this moksha, very rare. Because jnanam is possible only for humans. Animals have to exhaust only prarabdha. In fact, they cannot acquire even punya papas. What to talk about jnana? To acquire both karma and jnanam, free will is required. We cannot say a cow gives milk for abhishekam, it will get punyam. No, cow does not get punyam. But the owner, instead of selling the milk, he gives the temple. Then cow never gets punyam or papam. Because deliberate thinking is required to acquire punyam or papam. Therefore, in manushya janma, alone karma is possible. Jnanam is possible. Therefore, the Upanishad says, you have got manushya janma, better make use of it and attain knowledge. If someone says, I will see it in the next birth, then the Upanishad says, you don't know what type of body you will get in the next birth. You know, in Tamil they say, Ippiravi tappinal, Eppiravi vaikumo. What will be my next body next time, I don't know. Because we don't believe in linear janma. All these Matsya, Kurma and Varaha, all these Puranic avataras. It is not gradual evolution. Linear evolution. According to Shastra, an animal can become human being. And if the human does not utilize it properly, he can become an animal. If one lives properly, one can get permanent relief. Otherwise, back to the birth cycle, cycle of birth and death. So Upanishad says, Iha chede avedi. Suppose one gains knowledge in this life. Iha. Iha means asmin manushya janmani atha satyam asti. Then only the manushya janma is valid. Here satyam means valid, meaningful, purposeful. What about accomplishing all other things? Because we have, is it not purposeful? For example, you know, people, Bill Gates, so many people, they are all multi-billionaires. This is not accomplishment. Vedanta does not accept that because anything else is only finite goal. Even if he is a billionaire, billion is still a finite goal. That means one travels from one finitude to another finitude only in all other accomplishments. That means no progress at all, finitude to finitude. Therefore, Vedanta does not consider it as real accomplishment at all. So, yaha atmanam aviditva asmalokat praiti saha kripanaha. Says Kripanaha is an unfortunate person who dies without gaining this knowledge. Parantu, on the other hand, yaha atmanam viditva. There it was aviditva, here viditva. Asmal lokat praitim, saha brahmanaha. There it was kripanaha, unfortunately he is brahmanaha. One who gains this knowledge, he alone has the deserves to be called a brahmana. According to the Vedanta, jnani alone is brahmana. Therefore, atha satyam asti. All others are either a brahmana or pseudo-brahmana only. So, na chet iha avedi. If one does not gain this knowledge in this janma, then mahati vinashtihi. The loss is immense loss. Mahati vinashtihi. Immense loss. Because one is missing the infinite. Brahman is infinite. So, a great loss. Therefore, may you know the value of human life and start your sadhana either for jnana yogyata praptihi or jnana praptihi. We'll stop here. Yo veda dao swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha asya prakriti lina seya parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna namastu narayana.